Welcome to Stories After Midnight. We're here again with the series By Candlelight They Suffer. We will be reading part 10 today, and I hope you stick around until the end so that I can leave you on a very frustrating cliffhanger. Thank you for listening to the story. Huge shout out to my patrons. Let's get started. Jordan's mother sat beside her daughter's hospital bed, staring out the window at the afternoon sky. The room had finally quieted down aside from the steady beeping of monitors and the occasional hiss of oxygen. They had managed to pump Jordan's stomach of the drugs, but the doctors had warned that it would be a long road to full recovery. In fact, they had said Jordan was lucky to be alive, considering the dosage and mixture of pills taken. As the hospital bustled around her, Brooke sat nearby, awkwardly wringing her hands together, unsure of what to say. She kind of just hopped on board the ambulance without any plan of what to do afterwards. Suddenly, Jordan's mother finally broke Brooke's train of thought. "You're one of Jordan's friends, right?" Brooke looked up and held out her hand. "Yes, Mrs. Halstead, I'm Brooke Palmer." A sad laugh escaped Jordan's mom. "That's funny. You don't look like one of her friends, all glammed up and whatnot. And you can call me Heather." "I know. We had to work on a group project together and we ended up becoming close." "Well, thanks for being with her, especially during all this. You know, I found something disturbing in her room right before I found her in the bathroom." Heather reached into her purse and produced a stack of papers. It was sitting on her bed. Brooke's mouth ran dry as she stared at the petition. "When the paramedics arrived, everything happened so fast. I grabbed her phone, her backpack, some clothes." Her voice cracked. "And that." Slowly, she revealed the first image. Jordan Halstead is the biggest slut in school. Brooke jumped out of her seat, leaning closer to examine the petition. "Oh my God!" Heather's brow furrowed.
"What? This isn't what we signed?"
"What? What are you talking about?"
"I signed this," Brooke said, jabbing the paper with a finger.
Heather's expression hardened.
"You what?" "But I didn't know what it was," Brooke quickly added on. "What do you mean you didn't know?" "I thought it was a Chick-fil-A petition."
Heather blinked.
"A what?" "A Chick-fil-A petition. Someone was trying to get a Chick-fil-A added to the cafeteria."
Heather stared at her, glanced down at the stack of papers, then looked back up at Brooke.
"You're telling me these people didn't know what they were signing?" "A lot of them didn't."
"How do you know?"
"Because the guy who handed it to me told me exactly what it was."
Heather leaned in intently.
"Who?"
Brooke didn't hesitate.
"Drake Billings."
Heather's eyes narrowed.
"The quarterback?"
Brooke nodded.
"He walked around school getting signatures."
"And he told people it was for food?"
"That's what he told me."
Heather sat back in her chair as a dangerous look settled across her face.
"That stirred," she spat. "I don't think it was his idea."
Brooke watched as she tensed again.
"Then whose?" "On Wednesday, I think it was. I was in the bathroom when I heard Jordan get into a fight with Maddie Pemberton."
"I know who she is. Never particularly liked Jordan hanging out with her." Brooke nodded.
"Your intuition is right, I think, because she kicked Jordan out of the clique, and I think this petition has something to do with it."
Heather stared down at the papers for several long seconds.
"First, that bitch humiliates my daughter. Then this douchebag quarterback passes around a fake petition about her, and now my daughter is lying unconscious in a hospital bed."
A stack of papers crumpled slightly in her ever-tightening grip.
"If either of them had something to do with this, I swear to God."
A strange sound echoed from somewhere outside. Brooke turned to stare at the door. What was that? It sounded like someone howling in pain. Curious, she rose, Heather right behind her, and poked her head out into the hall. There it was again. A loud, hoarse, agonized scream. Goose flesh popped on Brooke's skin as it violated her eardrums. It sounded like a woman screaming, but it wasn't a scream. She listened more intently.
It sounded too animalistic for that, like someone had reached into the woman's chest and pulled her lungs out of her nostrils. Suddenly, a massive group of nurses and doctors, many of them in protective gear, raced past her down the hall. Feeling unsafe, Brooke retreated back into the safety of Jordan's hospital room and shut the door behind her. What was going on here? Maddie had gotten Drake good and trusting in that bathroom. She wiped out her mouth, her jaw aching as she walked out to the parking lot, Drake hot on her heels. The rain from earlier had let up, letting bursts of bright sunlight burst through the broken cloud cover. "Where are you headed?" he asked. She kept on moving. "Home. My stomach doesn't feel good." "We're cool, right?" She stopped, turned her head, and, forcing out every ounce of acting ability she had, flashed a happy smile. "Of course. You did great yesterday." "Oh," she snapped her fingers. "Can I borrow your car keys?" Drake frowned. "Why?" The bell signifying the end of lunch period rang. "Because I left my sunglasses in your car." Drake looked at the black designer frames perched on top of her head. Maddie followed his gaze. "Oh," she laughed. "Those aren't the ones I mean. And I have no idea where I left them, so you might just want to give them to me and head to class." Drake rolled his eyes and tossed her the keys. "Bring them back?" Maddie wiggled the keys. "No promises." The final warning bell rang as students began pouring back into the building. Drake lingered for a moment, kicking up pebbles from the cracked asphalt. "You sure we're good?" Maddie smiled. "Sure, I forgive you. Really, everything's fine." The tension visibly drained from his shoulders. "Okay, good." Then he jogged back toward the school, stopped and turned. "You coming to my game tonight?" he shouted from across the lot. She nodded. "Of course, and I'll bring you your keys in your history class before I leave." He smiled, waved, then slipped back inside the school. The second he disappeared through the doors, the smile vanished from Maddie's face like a switch being flipped. Drake liked being Patterson High's biggest pot dealer. Fine. Let him sell all the weed he wanted. She didn't care about that. What she cared about was him thinking he was untouchable. Calling in an anonymous tip wouldn't be enough. Sure, administrators and the police would find the bags of dope, but Drake would just talk his way out of it. With that smooth tongue, he'd flash that stupid grin, make up some excuse, and maybe even have his rich daddy bail him out as always. Not this time. Maddie crossed the parking lot and unlocked his BMW. The familiar scent of weed immediately greeted her. God, he really was an idiot. She caught a mighty whiff of his gym bag before she saw it in the back seat. A revolting mixture of balled up sweaty clothes, Axe body spray, and of course, hot. Perfect. A flutter of excitement spread through her stomach as she pulled on a pair of rubber gloves, unzipped her purse, this one a Birkin bag, made with 100% real crocodile leather, cruelty guaranteed, thank you very much, and began rummaging. Drake thought he was the smartest guy in the room. Meanwhile, he'd handed her his keys without a second thought, passed around a vile petition that everyone was about to link back to a vicious case of bullying his side fling into attempted suicide, and now all of this physical evidence getting dumped in his lap. Boys really were stupid. She retrieved the items she'd brought back with her. One by one, she began placing them inside the gym bag. But she wasn't quite done. After finishing in the car, she locked it, tore off the gloves and shoved them in her purse, headed back inside and made a beeline for the front office. Stepping through the glass doors, the receptionist at the front desk, the always effervescent Christina, looked up and smiled.
"Hi, Madison. How are you?"
she asked, looking her up and down, no doubt examining the green blouse, chocolate brown skirt, and shiny brown pumps. Maddie couldn't blame her, though. If she spent every day trapped behind a reception desk, wearing orthopedic New Balances, she'd probably stare and wonder, too. She bet Christina felt a little stood up, seeing a high school girl dressed so much better than she was. God forbid she actually wore an uncomfortable shoe, but who knew? Maybe she'd come on Monday looking spiffed up. Maddie set aside the fashion critique and put a frown in her expression.
"Kind of bummed. Maybe you could help with something?"
Christina mirrored the concern.
"Sure, honey. What's the matter?"
"Well,
Maddie bit one of her painted nails. I made a petition for the student council. You know, the one about the Chick-fil-A? Christina nodded. Sure. What happened? Maddie placed both palms on the reception desk and leaned over intently, making sure Christina got a whiff of her Chanel perfume. I think someone stole it. The petition? Maddie nodded. Yeah. How do you know? Because I left it in my backpack yesterday. Maddie lowered her voice. And now it's gone. Concern flashed across Christina's face. Oh no, I know, Maddie sighed dramatically. At first, I thought maybe I lost it, but then I started thinking about who would have had access to it. Christina's eyebrows lifted. Oh? Maddie hesitated and could practically see the curiosity paint itself on Christina's face. Well, Maddie glanced around the office and gave a sheepish look. Probably shouldn't say. Now Christina was hooked. Madison, do you think someone stole your property? The school's property, actually? Since you're a council member, you should tell us. Maddie bit her lip. Okay, fine. So, I saw Drake Billings carrying my backpack yesterday. We're friends, obviously, but we kind of had a falling out recently. And now he's been acting kind of odd, and he offered to help me with some stuff yesterday. And that was the last time I saw it. Christina's expression changed. Good. Plant the seed. Let it grow. You're not saying he took it, are you? Maddie quickly shook her head. No, of course not. That would be crazy. Christina frowned. Well, hopefully it turns up. Yeah, Maddie straightened. If you see it, let me know. Christina folded her hands on her desk and gave a radiant smile. Of course, honey. Thanks. As she turned toward the door, a smile threatened to creep onto her face. After all, rumors tended to do some serious heavy lifting, and everyone knew the office staff gossiped like old church ladies. All the better. Brooke heard another commotion outside of Jordan's hospital room. Stepping out, she saw the same group of nurses and doctors huddled around a stretcher of some kind. She caught the sight of big black Velcro straps running over some kind of thrashing, screaming lump as the group headed her way. Curious, she poked her head out of the door just in time to see the face of Chloe Collins, or what was left of it. Massive, grotesque lines covered her face, making it an unrecognizable mass of orange and purple. Gasping, Brooke backed away, but then realized something odd. The staff seemed preoccupied with sedating her and wore no real protective gear. With a face like that, Brooke would imagine them donning hazmat suits. Rather, one of them was trying to secure Chloe's arm while another prepared a syringe. Granted, they wore gloves, but Brooke wouldn't touch skin that looked like that. How did that old Grinch song go? A 39 and a half foot pole? Yes, not even with one of those, because her appearance looked downright ghastly.
Get off of me!
Chloe screamed as the stretcher rattled violently as she bucked against the restraints. Brooke stared. How could she not see it? The marks covered every inch of Chloe's visible skin now. Thick orange and purple lines branched across her face like some horrible vascular system. They disappeared beneath the collar of her hospital gown and crawled up her neck and into her hair. But that wasn't all. No, in fact, Chloe's skin was a different shade of pale underneath the lines. Brooke took a closer look. The stark white of her skin was now a dull shade of gray. What the hell? One of the nurses finally noticed Brooke standing there.
Ma'am, please return to your room,
Brooke pointed.
Why does she have all the purple and orange lines on her skin?
The nurse followed her finger to Chloe's face and then looked back at Brooke, a strange expression crossing her features.
What are you talking about? Please return to your room.
Then she hurried away with the rest of them. Chloe turned her head just as she was about to enter a secured room. Her eyes settled onto Brooke. The hysteria morphed into something resembling rage as Chloe howled.
Yo! You did this to me!
Chloe felt her skin being stretched to its tensile limit, as arms and feet pushed against her body. She cried out and screamed as she thrashed against her restraints. It felt as though another person had been folded inside her, like a suitcase packed far beyond capacity. Every inch of her skin burned. The orange and purple markings raced beneath the surface like rivers of raging fire.
branching across her chest, stomach, neck, back, legs, and face, as they pulsed in perfect rhythm with her heartbeat. She arched violently against the hospital bed as one of the nurses grabbed her shoulders. "She's seizing," another hurried over. "No, wait," the doctor frowned. "Get another dose of..." Chloe's entire body bowed upward like a severe case of tetanus. Every muscle locked as her jaw slowly began opening, but she wasn't controlling it. It was opening on its own, forcing every fiber of her being into closing her mouth. She willed it to shut. If anything, it only opened farther, until the point where she felt the hinges of her jaw pop, and then unhook from the connecting bone and cartilage altogether, in a blistering stab of agony that felt like a dagger was shoved into both sides of her face simultaneously. One of the nurses gasped as Chloe felt something move at the back of her throat. "Doctor?" A loud pop echoed through the room. Then another. Her jaw continued widening until it looked ready to tear free from her skull. Gagging and retching and convulsions rocked the gurney as saliva poured from the corners of her mouth in long, glistening strands. She couldn't breathe. She couldn't scream. All she could do was gag as her stomach convulsed like it gestated a kicking child. "Oh my God," one of the nurses whispered. The bulge climbed higher, crawling inch by inch up her diaphragm until it settled at the base of her windpipe. As it reached this point, Chloe's air was effectively shut off. She tried desperately to breathe through her nose, through her mouth, but both points were blocked from further down like a clogged pipe responsible for a backed up sink. The coursing, churning movement reached her chin, then stopped. For one awful heartbeat, the room fell silent except for Chloe's futile attempts to breathe. Then suddenly the bulge twitched, then thrust upwards through the open cavity of her mouth. A pale set of fingers burst free from between Chloe's blue-tinged lips. The room exploded into chaos as doctors and nurses clambered over each other, screamed, and frantically tried to rush out of the room. In their panicked haste, they became a human ball, tripping and stumbling, but making no progress to that elusive exit door that only seemed to be getting further and further away. Then the rest of the hand shot up through Chloe's mouth. She watched in horror as the fingers and muscles flexed. One of the nurses turned back and screamed bloody murder. But the thing wasn't done. Suddenly, the rest of the arm erupted ceilingward, sending teeth scattering across the room like confetti shot out of a cannon. But the arm wasn't the length of a normal arm. Arms had elbows and shoulders attached to them, but this one didn't. It just kept going and going like it belonged to a sea creature. Chloe's scream never made it past her lips, as the arm whirled around the room, stretched as far as it could, and like a demonic variation of the claw toy found in arcades, grabbed the head of the nearest nurse and squeezed. It took less than a second for the hand to reduce her head to that of an exploded grapefruit.
"Oh my God, what the hell is that? Call security!"
It had been panic before. It was now pandemonium. One of the doctors managed to push open the door, but only made it a couple of steps before the arm shot out, tripped him, and pulled him back, kicking and screaming, back into the room by his ankles. Another hand burst free from Chloe's mouth, reducing the squealing man to mincemeat bone confetti. The rest of the medical team scrambled about. Some found weapons, but it was no use as the top of the head parted Chloe's mouth. And then the head turned around, and glistening, gray eyes stared back at them. It was summoned. It is here. And that's the end of this part. I hope you hate me for it. If you hate me, please like this video or podcast episode wherever you're listening. If you really hate me, consider becoming a Patreon member and maybe leave a comment. Let me know what you thought. I appreciate you for being here and checking out this series so far. Thank you to those who do stick around and listen to these things in their entirety until the big, grand video at the end. But I appreciate you for stopping by. Thank you for choosing this video and episode. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.